Thank you, brother.
Oops. I invite you to turn with us today to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. It's a delight to be in the house of the Lord here today. We've been in a revival this week. We ended it last night because of my obligation to be here. But the Lord blessed us throughout the week. We've had a wonderful week, and so far we've had a wonderful day, at least after we got here. We left very early this morning. I was told Marlene when I left, I said, I'm leaving and I'm tired right now before we even get there. So we got up here and then I got lost, and I still don't understand how I done that. I'm going to talk to you about that in a little bit. But we looked and looked, and we finally found it by the grace of God. We do bring you greetings from the churches up home. We appreciate the invitation to come here and preach again this year. It's always a privilege and a joy to be with this church. See some of the pastors we haven't seen for a while, too, and some of the brethren. You've had the cake, and you've had the icing on the cake. Now you're going to get the chicken soup. He said you wasn't going to get it, but you are. You're going to get it. Psalm chapter 37. We're just going to read two verses for the sake of time, and I'll try not to keep you too long this afternoon. Psalm 37, verse 23. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Let's pray. Holy Father, we come before you at this portion of the service just to thank you and praise you again for all the wonderful blessings you so freely poured out upon us. We thank you, Father, that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. We thank you, Father, that you're sovereign in all that you do, and you're right and holy and just, Father, in all that you do. We thank you, Father, that you allowed us to be here today, to be able to hear the messages that we've heard. We thank you, Father, for thy word, for thy precious Holy Spirit to guide. I do pray that you continue to be with each speaker throughout this service. We just trust that throughout the weekend that you would guide each one by thy Holy Spirit. We do pray that thy precious Holy Spirit, our faithful God, would be with us and lead us here today and give us grace to speak those things which would be pleasing to thee, which would exalt our Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for any that might be lost, that you might be pleased, O God, to call them out of darkness into the light and liberty of thy Son. We do pray for the church and pastor here, that you bless them and the work you've given for them here. Pray for Brother Long and Brother Lafferty as they make the trip to the Ukraine. We pray that you'd guide them in all of that, Father. We do ask now that you'd go with us, forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings before you. Help us to be forgiving to those who trespass against us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. What we had intended to preach on when I felt led to go to this text was the preservation and perseverance of the saints, with just a little twist that I'll not go into right now. But suffice it to say, I didn't get that far. I got to studying in this, and I seen some things that I believe are beneficial for God's people, beneficial for me as I studied it. There's things that I'm going to talk about that I don't even understand. I'm going to mention some things that I don't understand. But friend, I am not commanded by the Lord to understand everything Amen. He gives me. Amen. I'm just commanded to believe it and preach it and teach it. So by the grace of God, That's what we're going to do. It's a little bit like Ezekiel chapter 47, I think verse 1 through 5, where he talks about the water coming out from under the gate. And he said he waded in and it was up to the ankles. He waded in and it was up to his knees. He waded in, it was up to his loins. He waded in, it was waters to swim in. And you know, I like to get in over my head sometimes. Now, a lot of people don't. But I don't think we can learn to swim if we don't get in deep enough water to swim in.
Amen.
And I'm afraid too many people today, and I'm not saying this critically, just as a statement of fact, too many people have waded to the ankles and quit there. They have not blessed themselves with wading into the Word of God. So whether you agree with what I have to say today or not, that's not what I'm here for, is agreement. But if whether you agree or not, what we are in agreement is with that we want to exalt our Master, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we want God to be on the throne where He is. I don't have any intentions or inclination to try to drag God down from the throne and make Him like me. Amen. If He's like me, I don't want that kind of a God, friends. I want a God who is on the throne and who doeth all things well. Let's look at this. Let's begin. He said here, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I believe the good man here is a righteous man. I believe that's what he's having the allusion to here. One commentary that I read said that the word good was translated from a Hebrew word gerber, which means a strong man. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Amen. Now, I don't want to stand here and give you the idea that I think I'm strong. I don't want you to get that idea at all. But I want you to understand that the righteous are given the characteristic of being strong according to the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, he said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be strong. And it also has the meaning of conqueror. Romans chapter 8 verse 37, he says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. So I would agree partially with that, but I believe the question as to who these people are is told to us in verses 21 and 22. You can read. I'm not going to take time to. I believe it's clear here that the good man here is the righteous man. The righteous man. And that the steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And I don't think I'd be doing any injustice to the Scripture when I say that. Well, the steps here, I believe, are the course of our life. I believe it's from the very beginning to the very end of our life. And I could say in particularly from the time the Lord saves us until He takes us out of this world. It's a lot like the word walk. He commands us to walk in newness of life. The Bible says we're to walk by faith and not by sight, is what the Scripture says in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, I believe. God commanded Abraham to walk before Him. In Deuteronomy 13:4, He said there that we are to walk after Him. So I think what we're talking about is the course of our life, and the steps are that which makes up the total walk in our life. And He said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And don't forget what we're into here. The book of Job chapter 14 verse 15, He says, for now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? We only have so many steps in our lives, friends. And I'm afraid we're taking too much time sometimes wasting those steps instead of using them for the Lord the way we should be doing. But we only have so many steps. Our prayer should be in Psalms chapter 119, verse 133. He says there, order my steps in thy word. That not only should be our prayer, that should be our sincere desire that God would order, now listen to this, that God would order our steps in His word. That's where we ought to want them to be. We shouldn't want them to be anyplace else. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're ordered by the Lord. I get just a little bit frustrated at times over people's usage of words. We speak about God's sovereignty. Do we really believe that God is sovereign?
Right.
Do we really believe that He is sovereign? The sovereign gracers, friends, do not have a patent on that word. They do not. I know of Arminians that use the word sovereign a lot. But their meaning of the word sovereign and the biblical meaning of the word sovereign are two different things. Have you ever heard of a sovereign grace Free Will Baptist Church? Do you think that they have any idea what sovereign grace is? You see, the meanings are different. I sometimes wonder, boy, I might preach a little longer here today, brother. I sometimes wonder when Obama talks about God, whether he's talking about my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or whether he's talking about Allah. I wonder sometimes about that. They use the term God, but I wonder what God he's talking about. And I tell you what, friends, I wonder what God a lot of people's talking about when they start talking about God trying to do something and He can't do it without your aid. That's not the God I'm talking about.
Amen.
Many believe that our text has to do with omniscience. I've heard people quote this verse in Job 23:10. He said, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." How does He know the way that I take?
Amen.
Is it omniscience that we're talking about here? Well, you think about that just a minute. Most people believe that God uses His omniscience, in other words, the fact that God knows all things from beginning to end, they think He uses His omniscience in order to deliver His people from trouble. I won't tell you what I think. Like I say, I'm not looking for agreement today. I am always ready and open to hear what the Word of God says. I like what Brother Raoul said. You know, we've got to let the Word of God settle it. You see. So I'm a lot like him, I guess, in that respect. If I'm wrong, prove it to me. But not with a commentary.
Right. Amen.
Not with a work of literature by some man. You prove it to me by the Word of God, and by the grace of God, I'll bow to that. And we should always do that. We should always do that. It is not omniscience alone. Sure, God is omniscient. Sure He is. Surely He's omnipresent. Surely He is. But let's not forget that He is also omnipotent.
Amen.
He is omnipotent. In other words, having all power and authority. When the Lord came to commission His church, He said, "All power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth." And I believe you could translate that easily. Power and authority, because one without the other is useless.
Amen.
You see, power and authority. He has all power. Do you believe he has all power and authority? I do. I believe that with all my heart. And I would venture to say most, if not all, the saved in this building today believes that. That he is an omnipotent God. When he said our steps are ordered by the Lord, that word ordered is sort of an interesting word. It means directed or commanded, if you would. Commanded. It means disposed. Disposed. And the word disposed means arranged or set apart in order. It sort of reminds me Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, when he said, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. I want to tell you something, friends. God didn't just only create the heavens and the earth. He didn't just only put everything on the earth that's there. He didn't just only make man, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. So what are we talking about here in this passage of Scripture? Omniscience. He knoweth the way that I take. Is it Paul simply that he knoweth all things? Or that all things works according to counsel and purpose of Almighty God? Amen. There is nothing that is not under His power. Nothing that is not under His direction, either by commandment or permission. One or the other. I believe God's Word is telling us that our steps are commanded of the Lord. Our steps are commanded of the Lord. Now everybody listen, because somebody will misunderstand what I'm saying. And I don't want anybody going out saying something I didn't say. God's Word telling us that our steps are commanded of the Lord. Someone says, well, yeah, I agree with that. That means all of our good works, that they are commanded of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And He worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. There's no doubt about that. But friends, I believe it goes a little bit farther than that.
Amen.
I believe it goes a little bit farther than that. I'm going to read you something that John Gill said and something that Spurgeon said. Gill said, when it was talking about the steps, he said, both the spiritual and the temporal part of life. Both the temporal and the spiritual. Spurgeon said this. He said, all his course of life, man's course of life, is graciously ordained, and in loving kindness all is fixed, settled, and maintained. No reckless fate, no fickle chance rules us. Our every step is the subject of divine decree.
Amen.
Well, I agree with that. Amen. I hear some amens. You agree with that. Then does that mean in the next verse, though we fall? Think about that just a little bit. Don't be too quick to answer. Think about it. I've been spending quite a bit of time on this. I had planned on preaching this message, but this is not the message I planned to preach. And I sort of tried to get away from it. Lord, you know, I'd rather preach on preservation and perseverance. But every time I turned away from it, I had to come right back to it again. Had to come right. Have any of you preachers ever preached a message that you had no idea why God gave it to you to preach? I have. Maybe I'm an oddball here. But I preached in my own churches sometimes messages the Lord had laid on my heart, and I had no idea why I was preaching that message. Occasionally, the Lord would show me a little bit about why after something happened. But we don't always know. This word ordered of the Lord has to do with two things. I believe ordered by commandment, or if I could put it this way, ordered by permission. But the steps of a good man are ordered. Is that just the steps of good works? Or does that include, though we fall, we shall not be utterly cast down? To me, this is just as much, sure as when God told Elijah in 1 Kings, Elijah in 1 Kings 17, verse 4, he said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. God has never commanded anything that hasn't happened. He has never commanded anything that hasn't happened. Unless someone says about what I'm preaching that I'm advocating that it's all right to sin, I am not. We should grieve over our sin.
Amen.
Our sin before God ought to bring us sorrow. We should hate that sin. But what we should concern ourselves is our sin. Why do I say that? Too many people sometimes think that because they have sinned a particular sin, that they have upset God's plan. Brother, I'm here to tell you that God's plan has never been upset, and it'll never be upset, because God is sovereign. Amen. And if we believe He's sovereign, we have to believe that.
Amen.
I believe there's a commandment of permission when God allows us to do wrong and sin. His purpose is still accomplished. God does not make us to sin, but our sin, friend, you know Psalm 76 verse 10, He said, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. You know what that means to me? That means all the rebellion, all the hatred, all the iniquity that wicked men can point at God, it will do nothing but praise Him. Why? Because it will fulfill His purpose as His counsel has directed.
Amen.
Now, we're talking about the wicked. Let's talk about us for a minute. Is it different with us then? Are you going to say, you're talking about the righteous, that their rebellion and sin against God will praise Him? What about our rebellion, our disobedience, our sin against God? You're going to tell me it doesn't do any less? Does that make us puppets? Or does that make God a partner in sin? No. On both counts. We are not puppets, but we are responsible for our sins, and God will use what we determine to do of our own volition to fulfill His own purpose. In the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God.
Amen.
That wasn't the crowd. That was the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God.
Amen.
See, they, Peter said, you with wicked hands have taken and crucified. You see, they done exactly as God's counsel had purposed before the foundation of the world, friends. And their rebellion against Christ praised God.
Amen.
He makes it even clearer in Acts chapter 4 and verse 27 and 28. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. I want you to see this crowd that's gathered together. I never cease to be amazed at this. You'll never see them together any other time. You'll never see them with the same aim any other time. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the Bible says Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatsoever thy counsel before determined should be done. Whose counsel? God's counsel.
Amen.
You remember when Peter denied the Lord? You remember that? Christ did not make Peter do that. But He allowed him to do it. He allowed him to do it. And Peter, actually, friends, his act of rebellion praised God. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? Why would I say? How many times the Lord Jesus Christ said, the Scriptures must be fulfilled. And all the wicked acts that was perpetrated against the Lord of glory were prophesied of long before it ever happened.
Amen.
And when it happened, it praised God. You know why? Because not one word of God can fall to the ground.
Amen.
You know what Peter? What the Lord told Peter? He said, Peter, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Friends, this is the Word of God. As much the Word of God as the Old Testament Scriptures were. And if that could not fall to the ground, neither could his fall to the ground. And Peter, by his act of rebellion, fulfilled the Word of God.
Amen.
The Lord said, Peter, Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now he didn't say, Peter, I ain't going to let Satan have you. Remember that word ain't, brother. They're going to let Satan have you. He said, I prayed for you. But brother, he did let Satan have him. I mean, Satan turned Peter upside down and inside out.
Right.
Denied the Lord three times. Cursed the third time. Said, I know not the man who done that. Satan was allowed to sift him by the permission of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
But I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and it didn't. Just a little bit short breath today. Peter done what he done of his own volition, and I believe it grieved Jesus. And brother, I know it grieved Peter. But what he done fulfilled God's purpose. Was those steps ordered by the Lord? Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm just asking you to think about it. Was those steps ordered by the Lord? Satan would have our sin. He would have our sin. Satan has a limited power over us. Just like he had a limited power with Job. Yeah, you can take away everything he's got. Yeah, you can touch his flesh, but you can't go no farther than that.
Amen.
It's the same way with us today. He has a limited power with us. What? Who determines that power? God.
Amen.
God determines that. Satan would have our sin upset the whole counsel of God. But God is so great and powerful, mighty, holy, and wise that all these things come together to fulfill His purpose and counsel. But Peter hated his sin, as David hated his sin, and brother, as I hate my sin. Brother Spears was talking about, we look at the Old Testament saints back there, and we're encouraged by the demonstration of faith. True, I agree with that 100%. But friends, I also have to tell you, there's a time as I begin growing by the grace of God in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I set these men on high. I thought Moses was the greatest man that ever lived aside from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we can get them on a pedestal where we're actually looking up to them, and God, by His infinite wisdom, grace, and mercy, has shown us by their disobedience that they are men of like passion like we are. You just as well say that God, that Adam upset God's plan. Of course, that's what the preachers up home tell me. Surprise God, when Adam sinned, he had come up with plan too. You know. But you just as well say that Adam upset God's plan when he rebelled against God. When he rebelled. You just as well say Jacob's sons upset God's counsel when they sold Joseph, as to say that the times of disobedience in our life are not part of those steps that God has ordered by permission. Do you ever really think, I know all you preachers know more about this than I do, but Isaiah chapter 46, I was preaching. I brought that into a message one time at a church about 2 months ago. They invited me to come up and preach. And most of the people there received it. But I hadn't noticed one man got up and left. And one of my friends came around after and said, "You get notice that big guy, big husky guy?" Well, he wasn't big enough because I didn't see him get up and leave. He said, "But did you see that guy in that blue shirt with the tie get up and leave?" And I said, "No." He said, "I was watching him." He said, "I knowed that he wasn't going to take what you were saying." And he just got up and left, you know. But you know what? I don't understand people. My son goes to his Christian school. God has blessed us to allow us to be able to take him up there. My wife actually helps up there through the daytime. Otherwise, we'd probably have trouble being able to do it. But one of the older kids got in a little discussion with my son, Mark, about the wine that the Lord made. You know, changed the water into wine. They said, "No, that wasn't wine. That's grape juice." Mark, he stood at ground, he said, "It says wine." "Well, it wasn't wine, it was grape juice." And then one of the teachers come over. And one of the girls that's standing there said, "Well, all wine is it's just something that's made out of rotten grapes." I have no idea where she got her information at. She's graduated from high school. But he stood his ground. It's wine! The Bible says it's wine! Why can't you believe that? You know. I didn't mean to get on that. I hope I didn't offend anybody. I just want to make a point there. That's what they was talking about. And it's the same way here. Same way here. He said in Isaiah 46 and verse 10. He said, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
Amen.
Now think about this. From ancient times to things that are not yet done, my counsel shall stand. What's he talking about there? Omniscience or omnipotence? He goes ahead and says, calling a ravenous bird from the east, man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. If this is not so, then why did the text that we used go ahead and say, as I pointed out, that though he fall. That's part of the steps. That's part of the steps. I get so caught up when I'm preaching, and sometimes I preach and I forget. I done something today that I've always said I'll never do. I want to apologize to everyone here, both Kenneth, church, all you pastors. When I was talking about wine, any of you that doesn't believe in wine, I was not trying to cram that down your throat. It came to me what he had said, and I thought that was a good illustration. I want you to understand that. Because I know some of us have a little disagreement over that, but it's not a disagreement that breaks fellowship between us. And I want to apologize for that. I normally would never have mentioned that. I'm not apologizing for what I preach, what I believe. Apologizing for getting out of my place. Okay? I think I'm, by the grace of God, man enough to do that. But I can't even turn it back over to you. Gotcha. Oh, you want that back? I thought I got to keep that since I was the last preacher.
You deserve it.
I'll give it to you.
I thank you. You've done a wonderful